This is tape one of the February 12, 2005 public meeting of the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired.
Meeting of the Board of Commissioners of the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired is in order. I'd like to welcome everybody. Does everyone have an agenda? I guess silence.
Maybe I don't.
Here's one there.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
I think that's an agenda.
Welcome back, by the way.
Thank you.
Up here.
There are additional agendas on the table that's closest to the front table, both Braille and print.
Okay. I will quickly read through the agenda, something I often forget to do. 9 o'clock is call to order and introductions. 9:05, announcement concerning public comment and tapes of meetings, lunch arrangements and other logistics. 9:15, minutes of the November 20th, 2004 meeting and public hearing officers report. 9:20, client assistance project, CAP report, Vicki Rasmussen, CAP director. 9:35, public comment. 9:40, focus topic, transition services, Carlos Servan, Deputy Director, Vocational Rehabilitation, and Karen Mosier, NCBVI Transition Coordinator. 10:40, break. 10:50, report from the Chairman. 11 o'clock, public comment. 11:10, report from the Executive Director. 11:30, public comment. 11:40, break for lunch. Old business, 12:10, rule update. 12:15, budget update. 12:25, website update. 12:30, Friends of the Commission update. 12:35, NIS update. 12:40, status of taped public meeting educational materials. 12:41, training for commissioners. 12:45, meeting of commissioners and staff. 12:50, commission statement, job description. That is mission statement. It would be good if I could talk at this time of the day. 1:10, status of Braille on vending machines. 1:15, public comment. 1:25, break. New business, 1:35, LB 55. 1:40, NCBVI annual report. 1:45, state plan. 1:55, focus topic review. 2 o'clock, focus topic for next meeting. 2:05, public comment. 2:15, adjourn. So if we move according to plan, we should be through at that time.
Who's going to be our timekeeper?
Hubert, did you bring the alarm thing?
Yes, ma'am.
Good for you.
Excellent.
That was very effective last time. So the next thing is introductions. And I am Barbara Loos, Chairman of the Board of Commissioners. And I guess we can start at the right end over here.
Okay, I'm Dorothy Westenyaki from South Sioux City.
Bob Burns from Omaha.
Bill Arrester, Lincoln.
Nancy Altman Hastings.
Pearl Van Zandt, Lincoln.
Hubert Paulson, Lincoln.
Val Peary, Lincoln.
Bob Eaton, Lincoln.
Carlos Servan, Lincoln.
Mary Susan
Rusty-Wolke. Roy Howard, Lincoln. Candy
Larson, North Platte.
Dan Diamond, Lincoln.
Vicki Rasmussen, Lincoln. Karen Mosier, Lincoln.
Rich Yarden, South Sioux City.
Connie David, Lincoln.
Coach Floyd, Lincoln.
Ryan Ozentowski, Lincoln.
Katie Burrish, Lincoln.
Gene Burrish, Lincoln.
Ryan Strunk, Lincoln.
Randy Strope, Lincoln.
John Smith, Norfolk.
Are you last, John?
Yes, I am.
Okay, but certainly not least. Thank you all for coming. The next item is the announcement concerning public comments and tapes of meetings, lunch arrangements, and other logistics. And we do have a different approach to public comments, as you'll notice. We have placed public comments at various points during the meeting. And otherwise, we are having discussions among the board only. So that's something that we just started recently. We certainly encourage people to comment during the public comment times, either on the item that just preceded it or anything else that people may need to bring up. If for some reason you need to leave before the next public comment arrives and, you know, and you haven't had a chance to speak, please let me know so that, because we don't ever want to count out public comment, but we did need to streamline it some. We also do have the meetings taped, and people can get those tapes from the commission. Any commission office has them after the meeting. And as far as the lunch arrangements and other logistics, Dr. Van Zandt, I don't know anything about those, so.
Yes, well, this time, amazingly, Val Peary has prepared soups for us. We have chili and baked potato soup,
goodness,
three crock pots full, and crackers, and there are for throughout the day, or as long as it lasts, some coffee in the back and water, and also this morning some donut holes. So help yourself to the drinks and the donut holes this morning, and we'll just have to get our soups at whenever we break for lunch.
Okay, thank you very much, and thank you, Val.
Wow. Yeah. Don't thank me yet.
Well, we're glad to anticipate it.
Yeah.
Okay, the next item is minutes of the November 20th, 2004 meeting, and we ended up with several versions of those, but we, the ones that we would consider the official draft would be those that are on the website ultimately. Does anyone have any additions or corrections to those minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we approve the November 20th minutes. Is there discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so those can be moved from draft to approved status. Now, the public hearing officer's report was a study in our learning process. You know, at first we had put them out as minutes and then wondered who approved those minutes. But in re-looking at the process that's supposed to happen, what those really were the public hearing officer's report. And so that is now how they're out there, and anything that calls them minutes is incorrect. And so we don't really need to approve those, we just need to know that that's what happened and why the same document was called more than one thing. And as we learn, that's how things happen. And the good news is that once we figure out what we're doing and what we need to do, because we're not in the same kind of bureaucratic nightmare we used to be in, we can fix things when we figure out that they're different from what maybe they ought to be. Okay, the next item on the agenda is the client assistance project report. And for that, I'll turn it over to Vicki Rasmussen. Welcome, Vicki.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for having me here today. Pearl is on the General VR State Rehab Council, and there I give a quarterly report, and when she saw that I did that, she asked, well, how about doing that for the commission? But with the commission, there are fewer cases than I received with the General VR, so we decided that we would try to do it annually. So I appreciate you having me here today to talk about this, and I think each of you should have received a copy of the four cases.
Yes.
That mm-hmm. I received, okay?
Yes.
Do you have any comments, or actually it's five, any comments or any questions about that, or would you like me to do it differently next time, or?
Well, one thing that seemed impressive to me was how quickly things would be resolved. You know, most of the time there isn't a long period between when the thing came to you and when resolution happened.
Yeah, Pearl, when I was sent her a draft to look over if this is what she thought would be good to present, she asked how, you know, what is the time frame? Are staff responding quickly to you? Are you responding quickly to the client's concerns? And so I went back through and added that. And I will say the commission staff really are great to work with. They want to try to resolve the issue. They're very comfortable with me asking questions and seeing how they arrived at their decision, and I really do appreciate that. And part of that quick resolution is when I leave messages, they call me back and we're able to work on it. So out of this, we had talked a little bit at the administrative staff retreat, and a couple of the cases, there was a question of eligibility, or eligibility was part of the concern. And at that time, we asked, well, maybe there should be a little refresher course on eligibility. And so Carlos and I are going to do that at the next statewide staff meeting. And we're also going to include with that how Voc Rehab, the general agency, and the commission work together. So we're going to kind of start with that and then go with the eligibility process. So we'll be doing that at statewide staff. And one thing I do try to take a look at too, is there a pattern? Are there certain complaints I'm getting over and over? And with access to Pearl and Carlos and Bob, there's no problem with sharing with them that I'm seeing this pattern, or maybe I saw a letter that maybe could be done differently. I will talk to them about that and maybe offer suggestions on maybe how to change that. So otherwise, that's it.
Is this year's pretty consistent with what has been happening in the past, or?
This year would probably be an increase.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Mm-hmm. Which is good, which is okay, because then it shows too that they're getting the word out to clients that if you disagree, you can always contact the client assistance mm-hmm. program. So I see it as a positive too. It probably in the past maybe been one or two, and then went to five this past year.
We didn't want her to lose her job.
No, they're keeping me in business, so that's okay. So then with the general VR agency, I can't remember off the top of my head, 55 to 60 is usually where I get with the regular VR.
But now proportionately, that's a larger
yeah they serve
clientele.
Yes, it probably averages out to be the same. I think in fact 1 year I was looking at that, and for the commission to have one or two cases is probably proportionate to the clients that you serve, how many clients that you're working with. So we will be doing this annually, bringing the report. So I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Now as your office, this is going to show how really little I know, I suppose, but if with all the rearranging of things that's being talked about with RSA and different offices and different functions and all of that, does that affect you at all?
No, not with RSA. With the action alert that came out the other day, I asked that question because the CAP funds are under Title I, right along with Voc Rehab. Right along with your money. And so what I heard was no, that's going to be, would be separated out. But I don't know. I figure if it's, they're mentioning Title I, CAP is under Title I, so that money then would go to the governor. Even if for some reason the CAP money was pulled out and separate, there is a clause in there that since I was grandfathered in with vocational rehabilitation, that any time there's a change or a move with Voc Rehab, my money then would be pulled and go to the governor. So either way, I probably would not, my office as CAP would not exist.
Excuse me, you don't mean either way, but if that funding changed.
If the funding, yeah. If they say, if it's Title I and it's included, it would probably cease to exist.
Okay.
If for some reason it's pulled out, but the money is still block granted, okay. VR would be gone, commission would be gone,
right.
I would be gone. Either
right.
way,
okay.
I'm gone.
Thank you. Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't told my husband. No.
Job security.
We'll be gone.
So we'll manner.
So, yeah, either way, it doesn't look too good. Mm-hmm. But for anybody, yeah. really, not no. just me, so.
Does anybody else have any questions?
No, I thought her report was that she sent by email was real informative, and I was like Barb that things got handled so quickly. It was just amazing.
And I'm a big believer in customer service, and I feel sometimes when the clients have contacted me, they feel like maybe they haven't been listened to or they haven't gotten a service, so I try very hard to respond, to listen to their needs and respond as quickly as I can. So, but thank you for noticing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure. Now, the next item is public comment. Does anyone out there have any questions for Vicki or any comments?
Public comment. Okay. I would like to ask you, I gather that a report had been, in case anybody doesn't know, it's a report had been sent out to various, to the members of the board and what have you, but the discussion from Ms. Rasmussen was rather abstract and vague, and I don't really don't know quite what got to what she was talking about, the kinds of cases, or is that still confidential or not?
Well, I didn't feel, since the board had gotten a copy of it, that I didn't feel it was necessary to read through, but...
I just sort of generally highlight what
sure.
kinds of cases you're talking about here.
Is that okay with the commissioners?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Disagrees with decision to not fund school. Not enough done to save the job. Hills being denied assistance, and it was regarding eligibility to get services. Wanted a different counselor, and not sure which agency they should be working with. We are the Commission for the Blind.
I'm Candy Larson, and I have a couple comments there. I noticed that we've had a rise in the number of cases, and I do believe that that is a good thing, and I think that's directly in relationship to the more empowerment that we are giving to clients and making sure that they are aware of the client assistance program, informed choice, and that these are client-driven services. So therefore, I believe that that is the result of putting that in the hands of the clients and then them empowering themselves to, when they don't feel that things are correct, doing something about it. That's my only comment.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay.
Barbara, this
yes.
might be a good time for, there was, I believe, just one person that came in since we did introductions.
Oh, okay.
Howard, would you introduce yourself?
What?
We did introductions before, and you came in just after we did that. If you'd just introduce yourself.
Yeah, I'm Howard Simons from Grand Island.
Okay, welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item on the agenda, and thank you very much, Vicki, for coming and reporting to us and for being there to listen to people. The next item is the focus topic, which is transition services. Carlos and Karen?
Yep, we are here. How much time do we have for this again?
5 minutes.
An hour.
I will be speaking for 1 minute and Karen for It's a thing that we are proud to have in Nebraska a transition program. Whenever people in different agencies for the blind and also general vocal tract agencies want to deal with transition, they contact Nebraska for ideas and how we started and so on. We believe that investing on early age is a key factor for individuals, for blind people like us to have a better success. The earlier you intervene, the better empowerment, the more empowered it is. Karen is going to share with you some statistics and talk about some of the problems that we talked. But we do believe strongly across the state that transition is a key factor. We have three transition counselors, but everybody does work with transition clients. So, here now, let you do the rest.
Okay. When we were preparing information for the governor's office, we ran the numbers, and each year of the grant, and this is the fifth year, the final year, but each year of the grant, we're required to keep track of the statistics and report on those things. And the federal government seems to feel like numbers are what really matter. Well, we're not necessarily going to disagree with that. The first year that we ran the transition program, we had 63 participants. We had 19 placements. Those are wages and opportunity knock students. So these are not closures, but these are placements for work opportunities and related projects for transition age individuals. But 19 placements the first year. The second year we had 114 participants in the transition program, and that's ages 14 to 26, 29 placements, wages and opportunity knocks, and work experiences. The third year, we had 130 participants. We had 39 placements, wages, opportunity knocks, and other for transition age students. And this last year, we had 130 participants again. We had 53 placements in the fourth year of the grant. When we started this whole thing, we really believed that we could make a difference in the opportunities and working on and cultivating individuals' attitudes about themselves and what they have to offer to the world in general, and all of those things. It's kind of an all-encompassing program. I believe the numbers bear that out, because when you have the confidence to go forward and to work with people and to contribute all that you have to contribute, those things show. So we're very proud of that, and I believe this final year of the grant will continue to show that kind of progress. We anticipate 135 to 140 participants this final year of the transition program altogether. We are going to be making some changes because Carlos and Bill and I went through the numbers just the other day, and with it being the final year of the grant, we're interested in making sure all the money is spent, and that was certainly no problem. Committed and committed again and committed a third time. The first year we were looking for things to invest in this final year we're looking for things that we can perhaps adjust and make accommodations for in another way. I want to talk just real briefly about the programs that are coming up. We have a Winterfest, which is for late middle school and high school students. That will be March 10th, 11th, and 12th. Part of what we'll be doing at that Winterfest is an etiquette expert. Our students ask for someone to come and talk with them about how to deal with a formal dinner, formal dance. And when the idea was first broached, and what a couple of the young people who were at that Winterfest 5 years ago, I forgot that it was 5 years ago. And so the students who were asking for it were in fact too young to be at that Winterfest, so it was time to do it again. So we'll be having an individual come out from Omaha who will be working with our students on etiquette and formal dinners and those kinds of things, doing things that high school students do. My guess is there are a lot of parents in this world who really wish their students would ask for that kind of information. So it should be a really good time. The other part of that Winterfest program is all three technology specialists will be there on Saturday morning to do a panel presentation and demonstration for the students, talking to them about technology that's available, how you make a decision about what technology is most appropriate for you, and also some of the responsibilities and obligations of technology when you have it. We're just accepting applications now, but generally we run about 20 students at the Winterfest program. Wages this year will be June 19th through July 30th. We are going to limit that to 12 participants with priority being given to first and second year participants. We have in the past been able to accommodate third year participants, and I know that it sounds like people coming back, what value could that be, but actually it's extremely valuable.
The second-year people and the third-year people have a lot to offer to the first-year individuals as a general rule. But with having to stick with 12 participants to keep it in the realm of what we can afford, that's what we're going to do. So first and second-year people will be priority. We will be partnering once again with Lincoln Action Program, who is the administrator of workforce investment monies for youth in Lincoln Lancaster County. And the students come from all across the state, but during the time that they're here in wages, they're considered to be Lancaster County residents, and that's how that money is funded for those individuals. That amounts to about $9,000 that Lincoln Action Program provides, $9,000 to $10,000. Project Independence is not technically a transition, but it is children, and so it falls within the realm of what we do. And that is July 17th through 21st, and we will be having it in Lincoln this year. We've talked quite a bit about making that an experience that varies one time to the next, one year to the next, and this year students will be housed at the university campus, and we'll be doing a lot of things within the city, looking at people who are at work, spending some time with the wages students who will also be here, and providing an opportunity to do a lot of different things as they work on their skills. The college workshop is August 16th and 17th. Amy Burrish is coordinating that out of the Lincoln office. And if I could ask Amy, do we have a commitment?
We're about 98% sure that it'll be Pam Allen will be our keynote speaker.
Okay, thank you. Good. We were pretty sure that was going to happen, but that should be a real dynamic program again. Last year it was really interesting. We had 63 people who were at the college workshop. Although the transition program coordinates that, it is not necessarily just for transition age people. It's for whoever is in college, and that can be non-traditional students as well as others. We've also in the past encouraged staff to come because there's a lot of information on dealing with students with disabilities offices, on dealing with readers, on a lot of different issues that are really, it's really excellent information and a really good opportunity for a lot of things, a lot of information. And then the Fall Winterfest program is scheduled for November 3rd, 4th, and 5th, and I don't know what we're going to do. It's after the grant closes and a ways down the road. Futures planning is absolutely on our minds, to say the very least, and the grant ends September 30th. The grant, as I said before, will be fully utilized. So far, we've spent $11,500 on technology. We have approximately $10,000 left in that part of the grant, and so we will be making very, very careful decisions about how that's used. Carlos and Bill and I talked about it. Nobody will be denied what they absolutely need. We'll go to case monies and whatever it takes to do that. I'm just letting you know what our status is. Depending on the funding, the program will change in the coming years to accommodate our situation. It's not necessarily very positive for any part of us, so I can't. I wish I could make some grandiose promises, but I really can't. I will be looking at Education Quest has a grant program for state agencies and private nonprofits on funding specific programs and things. We'll be asking them to consider funding our college workshop. We have had some interest in another organization in the state for helping out with sponsoring one of the wages program, for example. And we'll be providing some numbers and information and support as that entity makes their decisions. It's been a really tremendous 4.5 years. I am extremely proud of the staff, and I am very, very proud of our students. We've gotten to know each other pretty well, and I'm at a loss for words, which is truly unusual. There is nothing like watching a young person come into their own, and that's what transition is.
Excited kids do participate in different activities, you know, soccer, in baseball, skate, and this and that, and there are different things for those activities. parents usually call other parents. You know, they network to each other to take their kids. And that builds their self-esteem when, you know, those kids are growing, they do shopping, they do things here and there. So when they grow up, that's part of who they are. With blind people, many times parents don't know what to do. Teachers usually focus on educational curriculum, you know, until 3 or 4, whatever the time is in their cities. And if there is some, many times no expectations there. There are no other blind role models. So the transition program that we have allows us to intervene earlier enough and provide that to our students, that empowerment, that factor that is missing out there. When the feds came last summer, September, mm-hmm. to take a look at the programs that we do and also the Department of Education, we bring out the statistics of the type of employments our clients have. And I'm talking about just closures, okay? The RSA look at the amount of money people are making, successful closures, how much they were making when they came into the program, how much they are making when they leave the program, especially looking at professional jobs, technical jobs. Nebraska Commission for the Blind is very high in those placements. We have a very high percentage on technical, administrative, and professional jobs. And then by looking at those clients, those are the ones, or 95% of them, are the ones who participated on transition program before. So it's demonstrated that it's very important to have this. Now time for questions,
Yep. Do you have any questions?
I had a question on what you comment on the technology money that basically we spent half, but I guess it seems curious that what generally is that used for, and why do you think it's there's still half the money and it's in the fifth year?
Half the money for this year.
Yeah.
Okay.
We spent all the money every other year.
Okay. That's
Oh yeah, that goes fast.
Yeah. In other years, we've set aside as much as $35,000 to $40,000. This year, because it is the fifth year and we're very much in some constraints, we had to move some money around to accommodate several different things. But yes, we've spent it remarkably quickly.
Yeah, when Karen and I met, that was earlier in the week, but later in the week we got another, well, hasn't been authorized yet, but it's going to be gone for sure by before the end of the month.
Yeah. Worst case scenario, which of these some of these activities go back before the grant, don't they? Mm-hmm. As in the college workshop?
The college workshop didn't exist by itself prior to the grant. That's been since the grant. We did do what was called a round to it program that included a college workshop day. But I have to say, the college workshop as it is now is really, really to the point, and I think has a much more powerful impact than it did when it was an attachment to another program. I would strongly encourage, and I personally will be working very hard to find funding for that one. It's a good thing. We have young people who are juniors and seniors in high school, which we've made a real effort to include them in that, to get them thinking in that direction. We've had parents attend who perhaps have not necessarily been encouraged by educators or other people to consider that as a viable opportunity for their students. Last August, when we had the college workshop, I was sitting down the table from a young lady who has really not involved herself too much in transition programs, and her mother got her to the college workshop, and mom was sitting straight up listening to every single word, and it was all new material, and it opened up a world for them that has been very different than what they were envisioning in their past. The young lady joined us for Winterfest and actively participated. My hope is she'll be here again, and it's those kinds of things that really do make a tremendous difference.
Would you have any idea of the participants in the transition program that have multiple handicaps?
I would say probably of the people that are actively in transition within our program, about a third have another handicap as well. A third to a half.
Could you say, give some examples or are there commonalities?
Well, we have one young man in particular. Actually, there's more than one, but a couple, three people have hearing loss in addition to that. Not a major hearing loss, but hearing loss is part of it. We have several individuals who participate in Winterfest who are developmentally disabled. They still gain a lot from it, but that's right, cerebral palsy. We've had students, we have a student right now who participates in Winterfest and PI who is in a wheelchair. We have several people with physical disabilities of various kinds, muscular, skeletal, things like that.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, thanks very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. You know, I attended the college workshop last year, and it was excellent. And the feedback during the social times is also really impressive. You know, people really take what's going on in the sessions and talk about it and mull it over and wonder, and you know, it's really neat to see kids doing that kind of thing and having their parents know what is going on and get an opportunity to learn from things. You know, I've been spending time with, you know, not as a commissioner, but as a consumer with the education system. On Thursday, I went to the Special Education Advisory Council meeting, and I mentor a blind youth, and there really are things that need to be given perspective. The Special Education Advisory Council, for instance, has talked about they're wanting to get a few more technical advisors, they call them, from state agencies to serve on that council. But they don't intend to have consumer organizations or you know, organizations that are made up of people who actually are either current or future or past recipients of the kinds of services that the public schools offer for disabled children on that council. There wasn't an opportunity that day to ask about that. But it's a real concern. Because if there are no people of that kind on those things, then a whole major portion of what needs to be brought up to those folks doesn't get there. There was a parent there who came up to me during the break who has a child who she described as visually impaired, who has some... What do they call it? Major motor, something motor. you know, he has trouble with fine motor skills, and so she was wanting to know if anybody like that ever reads Braille. She has taken him out of the public school system, as I understand it, and is doing homeschooling. Well, you know, since she's a parent, and she just happened to run across me at that meeting because I was there as an observer. Otherwise, who does she go to? You know, eventually people hopefully do find the commission, and if they find a place where there are services being able to be offered to children and to transition age folks, then they get a good start. If they don't, then they end up having their kid grow up to be a part of the taking part of the system instead of the giving part. And I really hope we can keep the transition program alive in all that it's doing. It really has been fascinating to see how it has flourished and how different people who've been affected by it, who are now young adults, are being able to make their way in ways that those of us of a different generation either had to struggle more to get to or didn't ever get to. And I'm really hoping that we can continue to find ways of doing that. One of the things that I always like when we have reports from staff people here is the enthusiasm that everybody brings to it, even knowing that this grant is running out and that there are needs for finding other methods. Instead of doing the woe is me thing, you guys are saying we're looking for ways of doing it. We're contracting or we're trying to with other entities, and we've been looking at them for several years. You didn't just suddenly have, here this thing is coming to an end, and we haven't done anything to try to make a difference. And that, along with everything else that you've been doing, has been happening, and that really is commendable.
Thanks. I do have one other thing to say. Amy and I asked two young ladies to come this morning who have participated in Winterfest Wages and the college workshop. One young lady, unfortunately, has the flu, and it's the honest to God serious kind.
Yeah.
And the other young lady wasn't able because she is accepting the Spirit Award for her high school for in women's athletics, wasn't it, Amy?
Yeah, for football.
And so we really felt like that was probably a priority.
Yeah. So what's she doing it for?
She won the Spirit Award. She was on the women's golfing team. And she was voted as the recipient of that award for Northeast High School.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was pretty cool.
That really is.
Yeah,
getting your hair done right this minute.
Yeah. We didn't want to interfere with any of those kind of things. The other thing is, too, and this
is that Angie?
Yeah, it is.
Oh,
it
is. Wow, that's exciting.
Yeah, the other thing that's really neat is when two young ladies make plans to meet each other at the mall and go shopping without their parents, without anybody else, like all the other high school students do. That's when those kinds of things happen. That is every bit as important as anything else. To go out and go and do and participate completely in the high school experience in every way. And that's pretty neat, and that's happening as well.
So. And that's exactly what I mean by they're doing stuff that a lot of us in our generation are hoping to make possible for them that we wouldn't have done. Some of us would have been scared to do. Some wouldn't have been allowed to do. Mm-hmm. And so obviously you're reaching the parents also. And that's really, really good.
Oh, Karen, I was interested. This is probably, I don't know. Maybe we don't really know, but how much financing are we going to need to bare bones, keep it going kind of thing?
To keep staff in place and that sort of thing, we need more than what the grant has been, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
We need a minimum of, well, we figured out, being pretty conservative, it was $296,000 per year to just do some basic things.
Mm-hmm.
We received $275,000. We did ask for full funding from the legislature. I don't know that any of us are silly enough to believe that's going to come through all in one piece. But without a pretty significant amount of money, it would be impossible to do the day-to-day stuff, because the programs are important, but it's the day-to-day stuff and the Saturday student events and all of those other things. That's what makes the program, because the Winterfest and the wages and things, that's icing on the cake, and it's important, and I don't mean to take away from that. But if you don't have students who are interested and believe that they have something to learn there and believe that they have something to offer there, those programs wouldn't make any difference. And that's what the field counselors do. That and working with schools and working with families. And just like that, Barb, helping a family to realize that it's perfectly fine for a 15-year-old to meet her friends at the mall. You know, because there are a lot of parents who would be just filled with fear at that whole thing. And not because their 15-year-old might buy something they're not happy with, but because they may get lost in all kinds of other things. And for a parent to be comfortable knowing that sort of thing is handled by the skills that they've already developed and the confidence that the student has developed, that's really valuable. So well, it's the day-to-day stuff that worries me really a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, and the student I work with had been to one of the Saturday things, I think it was last weekend, and talked about the young adults who were there who are in college now, and just being around them and knowing that they're doing things, knowing that there is a future, that is just so